We're looking at the heroes of faith, and I've entitled my message, God Judges Now and in the Future. Now, I love reading, and I'm sure most of you also. Some like reading novels, others like reading the newspaper, some like reading magazines, whatever you read. But reading helps a person understand what's going on around the world and also increases your understanding of the mind. Now, the coach of a soccer football academy who sodomized a number of boys was arrested for his crime. And we know that he did not resist arrest. He was handcuffed, charged, and then before he could be taken away, he consumed poison. He was taken to hospital where he died, and the parents of the boys are furious with this cowardly act in not taking responsibility for his actions and facing the justice system. Interestingly, we read the passage with Gideon's son from his concubine in chapter 8 and verse 31. And you notice there it says, his concubine who lived in Shechem also bore him a son whom he named Abimelech. And we meet a similar situation where Abimelech asks his armor bearer or his servant to kill him because he did not want to be embarrassed and exposed that a woman had killed him. If you look at verses chapter 9 and verse 54, it says they hurriedly call his armor bearer, draw your sword and kill me so that they can't say a woman killed him. So his servant ran him through and he died. You see, friends, his pride and his selfish ambition got the better of Abimelech. Of course, such people may escape the law of the land, but they will never escape the law of God and the justice that will be meted out on the day of judgment. One of the many recurring phrases in the book of Judges is, and the land had peace for 40 years. You'll see that in 3:11. And the land at peace for 80 years in verse 30. And the land at peace for 40 years in chapter 5 and verse 31. So the recurring idea of the land having peace or the land having rest comes through over and over again. The problem or difficulty with the judges or the so-called saviors or the so-called people who ruled at the time were merely temporary saviors. They brought temporary reform. And when the judges or saviors died, the nation quickly fell into chaos and idolatry again and again and again. And this cycle or the pattern continued as you read through the book of Judges. God raises a judge to deliver Israel. Israel turns to God for help. God raises up a judge to rescue Israel, and the pattern continues. They sin, they turn away from God, and God continues to rescue them. And this seems to be the pattern that continues. Initially, Gideon appears weak and fearful, and he requests repeated signs from God for his help. Although his actions were driven by personal revenge, we notice that he is described in Hebrews as a man of faith. It says there, by faith, you know, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. All these men in the book of Hebrews is considered as heroes of the faith. And yet when we look at Gideon, And as we read through his story, he's a man that was imperfect. And he fell and led his, not only his family into sin, but the entire nation. So no deliverer, no judge or savior to Israel is perfect enough. Despite the good that Gideon had accomplished, he was responsible for much of Israel's relationship in terms of the Lord and serving him. And so the full consequences of his choices will be felt in the next generation. Remember this, that when we as people of God who serve him faithfully and love him, we pass on this baton to the next generation. And I do pray and hope that we will not fail God in our life so that our children will continue to walk in that. We know Gideon failed. And hence, when we look at the next generation, it's a very, very sad state of affairs. Abimelech, Gideon's son, listen, from his concubine, comes onto the scene. And what he does is he murders 70 of his brothers to gain control. Have a look at verse 5 on the screen. He went to his father's home in Ophrah, and on one stone he murdered 70 of his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, escaped by hiding. So Jotham comes onto the scene, and before this man is made king, he tells a story. And he tells a story of the trees in the forest, and he hints at Abimelech's worthlessness. The trees want a king. And they invite the olive tree, the fig tree, and the vine. And each of these trees turn down the invitation or the offer of kingship. Then the trees of the forest turn to the thorn bush in verse 14. The olive tree, the fig tree, and the vine were reluctant to give up their good work of providing oil, fruit, and wine. They were happy to do what they were doing. But you know, the thorn bush, which is virtually useless, accepts the offer. And Jotham was saying, only trees that are desperate or simple-minded would look for a leader in a thorn bush. And the trees of the forest put their faith in a thorn bush or a thorn tree. And the future is indeed bleak. So Jotham, what he did was he applied the story to Israel's choice of Abimelech. Like the thorn tree, Abimelech is the most worthless figure they could have possibly chosen to lead Israel. But now that they have chosen him, they are in trouble. They have a king who will not only cut them deeply, but wound them for the rest of their lives. Fiery destructions await them both, namely the people of Israel and Abimelech. And after him delivering the message, Jotham fled for his life, and he finds refuge in a town called Beer in verse 21. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, there are two points that I want to simply bring across to you. The first point is, leadership without God's call lacks God's blessing. Leadership without God's call lacks God's blessing. So clearly, Abimelech was not called by God. He was chosen by faithless people and not by a faithful God. See, God did not choose Abimelech. The people chose him. But they chose Abimelech in the lack of faith in a living God. Now, friends, it's easy to ride on the crest of a wave when people are favorable in their decisions, isn't so? Oftentimes, we have noticed how fickle and easily influenced the nation of Israel can be. And they went along with Abimelech's plan to slaughter his half-brothers and to set himself as a king. And the very people who set Abimelech as king turned against him. As a leader and king, Abimelech proved his mettle when he used the same means to stay in power. He slaughtered the people. The very thing that he did in terms of slaughtering 70 of his brothers on one stone, when people turned against him, he slaughtered the people. You can read it in verses 40 to 49. Friends, let me say this. Without repentance, there is no way anything good can come out of Abimelech's murders. All things work together for bad for those who do not love God and are not called according to his purpose. Have a look at verse 19 and 20 with me. So, have you acted honorably and in good faith toward Jerubbaal and his family today? If you have, may Abimelech be your joy, and may you be his too. But if you have not, let fire come out from Abimelech and consume you, the citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo. And let fire come out from you, the citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo, and consume Abimelech. Friends, you can see there how God's word comes true. The people who were dissatisfied with Gideon's sons now become dissatisfied with Abimelech. And the rest of the story confirms Jotham's parable of the thorn bush. You got what you deserved. And behind all of this, listen to what the Bible says in verses 23 and 24. It is clear that God had not forgotten the horrible sin of Abimelech. Have a look at verse 23 on the screen. God stirred up animosity between Abimelech. Listen, God stirred up animosity between Abimelech and the citizens of Shechem so that they acted treacherously against Abimelech. God did this in order that the crime against Jerubbaal's 70 sons, the shedding of their blood, might be avenged on their brother, Abimelech, and on the citizens of Shechem who had helped him murder his brothers. So he received the very injustice that he had inflicted upon Gideon's sons. When the Bible speaks about an evil spirit being sent, God was really sending a bitter spirit to consume the attitudes of Abimelech and Israel. And God, friends, is in control of even the evil spirits. Evil spirits will do only what God commands them or permits them to do. And theologians have called this God's permissive will. Sometimes you may ask, you know, how could God send an evil spirit? But that's God's control, God's permissive will. And so God had planned and executed it in his own way. And despite all of Gideon's weaknesses, God does not like it when one of his chosen instruments is badly used and mistreated. Hence, Abimelech and his relatives will face God's vengeance and wrath for the murder they have committed. You know, I was reading again in the newspapers, in the Mercury, and the breaking news was police losing war on heists. And there is a doctor who has got his doctorate in research. Henny Lochner at UNISA in Pretoria. He researched and interviewed 21 cash in transit convicted robbers. And as a senior lecturer in forensic and criminal investigation science, Dr. Enni asks the question, how can 200 robbers infiltrate 146,000 SAPS officers, but police can't do the same? And the conclusion he draws, and I quote, perhaps the problem lies with the crooked criminal justice system that has opened itself to bribes from gangs, close quotes. Here's my point. The leader of such gangs will issue out instructions. When a person is a liability during the execution of a crime, when the crime is in progress, the instruction from the leader of the gang is to kill each other. If you're a liability, you're a dead man. All things work together for bad for those who do not love God. And we see such deception in verse 28. In verse 28 of chapter 9 says, and I'll read that very quickly. It's not on the screen, but have a look in your Bible. It says, then Gaal, son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should be subject to him? Isn't he Jerubbaal's son, and isn't Zebul his deputy? Serve the men of Hamor, Shechem's father. Why should we serve Abimelech? And so you can see all these questions coming out in verse 28. Gaal is no better than Abimelech. Abimelech, the leader of a gang, is popular, but soon his popularity fades into insignificance when those who placed him in power turn against him. And God does not let the guilty go unpunished. Remember that. God's anger and God's wrath will fall upon people who oppose or who support, rather, the wicked act of Abimelech, who murdered Gideon's sons. So no sooner than that happened, God's anger is poured. And we see, dear friends, what has happened here. Those who sow seeds of injustice will reap a harvest of disaster. And thankfully, as you read the Bible, it does not end in a bad note. And therefore, leadership with God's call brings God's blessing. And therefore, it is important, friends, that one has got to be careful who one is following. And it is sad today that sheep. They just follow without thinking. And we see that within the context of so many people who claim to be leaders. And they claim to be called of God, but are not, because they are false teachers and false prophets. And so they follow blindly, and they can't see, they cannot think for themselves, because they're so brainwashed into believing what the prophet or the false teacher is saying. And hence they support him in every way. So here we have it. Leadership with God's call brings God's blessing. And here's a fresh opportunity for people to repent and turn from their wicked ways. And so we see a son of Puah, if you want to go in the Hebrew word. And Dodo is raised by God to become a savior to Israel. Look at chapter 10. In verse 1, after the time of Abimelech, a man of Issachar, Tola, son of Puah, the son of Dodo, rose to save Israel. He lived in Shemir in the hill country of Ephraim. He led Israel 23 years, then he died and was buried in Shemir. So all we know about this man or this king is that he led Israel for 23 years and died. That means God had brought about peace and rest in a nation for over two decades. And then another man followed, and his name was Jehiel. And he led Israel for 22 years. And the Bible says that he also died. You see, leadership with God's call, brothers and sisters, always brings God's blessing. See, we don't need to be popular. We don't need to have a high profile to experience God's peace and blessing. All we need is to be faithful. All we need is to be trustworthy. All we need is to be committed to what we have been called to do. And friends, I don't need to remind you of who your perfect Savior and Deliverer is. Within the context of Israel, there were imperfect Saviors and Deliverers. But if they had God's call upon their lives, God was pleased with them. And if they did not have God's call upon their lives, God was not pleased with them, because they acted wickedly against God and they turned their back against God and they led God's people in a different direction. But let me tell you about God's perfect Deliverer and perfect Savior. He's none other than Jesus Christ our Lord, who delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. And he rescued us, and he didn't bring peace for just 40 years or 20 years or 22 years. The peace that Jesus, the Deliverer, the Savior, gives to us is eternal. It's everlasting. There is no time limit to it. Therefore, all things work together for good to them that love God or love Jesus and are called according to his purpose. And so, keep that in mind. That today, we have been called by a perfect Savior, not by an imperfect Savior. And he will lead us. He will guide us. And he will direct us. Never follow an earthly leader, because an earthly leader will fail you, but God will never fail you. He'll never. As Christians, we are called people. We are chosen, elected, set apart, holy, and sanctified. And as such, we command God's blessing upon our lives. And we are leaders in our homes. We are leaders at work. We are leaders in recreation. Wherever we might find ourselves, we are leaders. Find out, friends, where your gifts lie and use it to glorify God. Okay? Use it to the glory of God. Secondly, the only other category is a non-Christian who is not called and therefore lacks God's blessing. If you're not a Christian, may I urge you to make sure that you are saved in order to inherit a greater blessing in Christ. So only those who are God's chosen, God's elect, God's people, set apart and sanctified, command a blessing. And those who are not God's people do not command a blessing. And therefore, God is saying to you, there's an opportunity for you to repent and turn to him and be saved and be a blessing. I trust that that will help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. I wonder, friends, as we bow in a moment of prayer now, as we think through the passage of Scripture that has been read, that has been preached and taught and explained, may we come before him as we examine our hearts, as we examine ourselves in the light of the parable that was given by Jotam. Are we following a leader that God has called, or are we following a thorn bush? Oh God, will you help us to be faithful? Will you help us to remain true to you even in the darkest hours? Please, Lord, help us to be men and women who command God's blessing upon the lives of others as we live it out and practice it. Lord, would you give us more souls in this church? People converted by your Spirit and not the spirit of this world. People who are converted by the Spirit of the living God as a witness and testimony to the greater church. And how we pray, Father, that they will become beacons of hope and light in a world that is so dark and dismal. And how we pray for this church to be a light in this community. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.